Ezra chapter number 7, I don't want to take up too much time, but I did read a funny story the other day about a little girl who came home from school, and she told her mom that her tummy hurt. She said, "Mom, my tummy hurts." And the mom said, "Well, it's because you haven't had anything to eat. Now, if you get some food in your tummy, it won't hurt anymore." So the mom gave the little girl a snack, and the little girl said, "Mommy, you know, you're right. My tummy doesn't feel bad anymore since I've got something in it." Well, the pastor of their church stopped by that day, and they were talking, and the pastor was telling the girl's mother and father that he had a headache all day. And the little girl spoke up and said, "Well, it's because you don't have anything up there. If you had something up in there, then it wouldn't hurt." So, kids, I'm telling you. But amen. Hopefully this morning nobody will leave with a headache. But hopefully your hearts will be filled, and God will bless you and give you something from His Word this morning. So let's read our text this morning, starting in verse number 6 of Ezra chapter number 7. "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and of the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, and unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes, boy, I never did get that name, could never pronounce that name, Artaxerxes, I'm not even going to try, in the 7th year of that guy, the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For upon the first day of the 1st month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless now. I pray, Lord, that you would take control of the service, Lord, and, Lord, move in hearts and in lives, Lord, through the preaching of your holy word. And, Lord, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Lord, I can do nothing good in and of myself, Lord. I can do nothing useful or beneficial, Lord, in and of myself. As a preacher, Lord, I pray, God, that you would fill me, empty me of all flesh, of all self, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, now would speak through me, Lord, and speak words of comfort and truth to these dear people. And may you be honored and glorified and lifted up in everything that's said and done this morning during the preaching time. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, that does not know you as their Savior, may they come to know Christ today before this service is over and before they leave this building, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for us Christians, God, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to convict us, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be soft, Lord, break up our fallow ground this morning. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would have your will and way in the service today. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in these verses, a man by the name of Ezra leaves Babylon in captivity. He was in captivity in Babylon, and he leaves Babylon and travels back to Jerusalem for a time to help rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. Now, at this time, the house of God was in ruins. There was no priest there to perform the service of the temple. There was no scribe or priest there to make known the word of the Lord to the people. All was confusion and chaos there at Jerusalem. So there was a great need for men like Ezra, who the Bible says was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. The Bible says there in verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now, in this day and age of spiritual chaos and confusion and carnality, I think there's a great need for men and women like Ezra today. Men and women who, like Ezra, will not only search the Word of the Lord and search it out and find out what it says, but who will commit themselves to obeying what God's Word says and then teach others to do the same. Ezra, he could have stayed at Babylon. I'm sure there was many things there that he could have found to do, and he could have kept busy right there at Babylon where he was in captivity there. But he chose to make the long journey back to Jerusalem to offer himself up for service to the Lord. And after 4 months of traveling, he arrives at Jerusalem, and I want you to look at what the Bible says there in verse number 9. The Bible says there in verse number 9, on the first day of the fifth month, came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Ezra in this chapter and throughout this book acknowledges the hand of God upon his life as the number one reason for the good success and prosperity that he enjoyed. He said, I've come a long way on my journey from where I've started from, and I've made it this far thanks to the good hand of God upon my life. Too many times we as Christians fail to see the good hand of our Lord at work in our lives. Too often we fail to recognize the hand of the Lord moving in our midst. It's there. It's always been there. But sometimes for whatever reason we fail to see it. And so this morning for the next few moments, I think it would do us well to consider where we started from, where we are today, and just how far God has brought us on our journey. Many of us have come a long way. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the only reason we've made it this far in our Christian walk is because of the good hand of God upon us. I see God's hand at work in this church. The Lord's blessed us with a nice van to pick up children for Sunday school and for children's church and for youth group. And praise the Lord, last week we had 26 or 27 children come to church, and that was a blessing. We had that van completely packed. And the Lord's blessed this church. He's allowed us to support several missionaries. We've been able to take on several missionaries, several new missionaries, and continue to support the ones that we have been supporting. And I tell you what, the Lord's just blessed this church. I just see how the Lord has blessed this church. And not only that, but He's blessed our families. The Lord is blessing our families, and I thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon me and upon my family. And you know, we are a blessed people. God has given us so many things to be thankful for today. And so we see God's blessings on our family. I see this new married couple here in church this morning, and how God's blessed them and how God's worked in their lives. And yes, amen. And I see some of you here this morning. We've had babies born into the church recently, families are growing, and God's just blessing. And I tell you what, we need to recognize God's hand of blessing upon our families. And then I see God at work in our lives. I see the hand of God at work in our lives. The Lord is blessing our lives. I see some of us who are growing and maturing as believers, and there's a hunger and a thirst for God and His Word in our hearts, and there's a desire to be obedient to what it says. And I'm telling you what, God is moving in our midst, and the good hand of our God is upon us for good. He's brought us to this point. He's going to see us through to the end. And if you can't see that, then you're either not paying attention or you're blind. And I think this morning that we just need to recognize, we need to take the time to take our blinders off and just open our eyes and just acknowledge the good hand of our God upon us and just thank Him for all the blessings and the success that we have been privileged to enjoy. And I think every once in a while we need to take time just to brag on God and just to praise Him for His goodness. Ezra described the hand of God here in verse 9 as good. And I'll tell you something, the hand of God is good. The hand of God is good. Now it's true that the hand of the Lord is against the wicked. The hand of the Lord is against the wicked. And if you're living in sin and rebellion against God, then you have good reason to fear the hand of the Lord, because the hand of the Lord is against you. But if you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God, if you're walking close to Him like Ezra was in this chapter, then His hand is upon you for good. We're not just talking about the hand of any man. We're talking about the hand of God, the good hand of God. We're talking about the hand of the sovereign God, Creator and Lord of this universe. The hand of God is upon those who walk before him with a perfect heart for good and not for evil. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? If we're on God's side, who can come against us and prosper? If God's hand be upon us for good, then what do we have to fear? I want to show you three areas of blessing in your life and mine that we can attribute or ascribe credit to the good hand of our God being upon us as the reason for our success and prosperity. First of all, we need to recognize this morning that the good hand of our God is mighty to save. The good hand of our God is mighty to save. In chapter 9 of Ezra, Ezra's prayer of confession is recorded. And in verse 9 of that chapter, we find these words. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9. For we are bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And verse 13 says, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. Ezra, in this verse and in these this prayer, acknowledges that in spite of their sins and transgressions, God had been merciful to them and His hand had been mighty to deliver them. Now, how many of us here this morning can relate to that? I know I can. And though our sins were many, like the sand of the sea, and though we deserve to be punished severely for our iniquities, when we were lost and undone without God and without hope in this world, the Savior in love reached down His hand for you and for me, lifted us up out of the pit whence we were in, saved our souls, and granted us deliverance from the awful penalty of sin. So we can say this morning, the good hand of our God is upon us, and it's mighty to save. Boy, what a marvelous, mighty God we serve. There's no God who can deliver after this sort. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. He's the great God and our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. He's our Master, and He's our friend. David wrote in Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I remember in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus was coming down the mountain and He was met there by a leper, a man who had the disease of leprosy, and it was eating away at his body, and he was dying. He was in trouble. He needed help. He was going to perish from this disease. And he fell upon his face at the feet of Jesus, and he said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus looked down at that dirty leper, and you know, in the Bible, in those days, leprosy was a contagious disease, and these people were separated from the rest of society. And Jesus looked down at that dirty leper, and He put forth His hand, the Bible says, and He touched him, and He said, I will, be thou clean. And the Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed and he was made whole. I think of the story in the book of Matthew in chapter 15 when the Bible says the disciples of Jesus, they were out in a boat on the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and there arose a storm and the waves were boisterous and they were afraid. And the Bible says that they saw a spirit walking up towards them, or what they thought was a spirit walking towards them on the water, and it happened to be Jesus. And they were afraid, and they didn't know what to do. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke to them and said, "Hey, it's me. Be not afraid." And Peter, he said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me come to thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so, you know, Peter, he hops out of the boat and he starts to walk across the water towards Jesus. And what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus for a few moments, just for a few seconds, and he sees the wind and the waves boisterous, and he begins to sink beneath the waves. And he prays this prayer. He says, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took Peter, and Peter and Jesus were in the boat safe and sound. I know in my own life that if it wasn't for the mighty outstretched hand of the Lord, I would be in a world of trouble today. And I stand before you today a living testimony to the fact that the good hand of our God is mighty to save. And by the way, once God reaches out in His love and His mercy to save a sinner, the Bible says that no man can pluck that sinner out of the Father's hand. Amen. I believe in the eternal security of the believer, and I believe that I am secure in Christ today, and I believe that His hand is upon me for good, and I thank God for His hand being mighty in my life to save my soul. But not only should we recognize the Lord's hand is mighty to save, but we also should recognize that the good hand of our God is mighty to supply our every need. The good hand of God is mighty to supply our every need. In Ezra chapter 6, after a short period of time when the work was made to cease and the temple work was stopped for a short time, preparations were once again being made to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. Money and materials were needed for the project, as with any building project. And in verses 7 through 10 of that chapter, Ezra chapter 6, the King Darius says, let's start this work again. Let's finish this task. Let's build this temple. Let's let these Jews do the job that they have gone to Jerusalem to do. And he says, "Moreover, I make a decree," in verse 8, "what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered, and that which they have need of, both bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings, and of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem. Let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons." Now this is a heathen king speaking here. This is Darius. He didn't know the God of heaven. He knew Daniel, and yeah, I mean, he knew about God, but he was a heathen king. This was an idolater speaking here. And yet God used this man, Darius, this heathen king, to supply the people of God with what things they needed to be able to finish the task, the rebuilding of the temple. So we see in these verses that everything Ezra and the people needed to rebuild the temple and finish that job was miraculously provided for them. God supplied them with all of the money and materials they needed to finish the task, and that which they had need of, the Bible says, was given them according to the good hand of their God upon them. And I'm glad this morning that every need I have, God's hand is mighty to supply. I can tell you from experience that He has never once failed to provide for my needs. God knows our every need this morning. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, "Our Father knoweth what things we have need of even before we ask Him." And He's always faithful to supply the needs of His children. Whether the need is physical, emotional, or spiritual, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, what's it say there? "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We need to thank God that He is powerful and mighty to supply our need. Not only did the people need money and materials for the rebuilding of the house of the Lord, but the people needed men of understanding to teach the people in the ways of God and to do the work of the tabernacle and to teach the people in how to serve the Lord. And over in Ezra chapter 8, the Bible tells us that there was no sons of Levi present who could do the ministry of the temple. There is nobody qualified there that could do the work of the temple. Look at Ezra chapter 8 and in verse 15. And you're going to have to forgive me as I try to pronounce some of these names. Verse 15, and I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there we abode in tents 3 days and viewed the people. And I viewed the people and the priests and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, and for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jerob, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief men also, for Jeorib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief at the place Kasaphia. And I told them what they should do, which they should say unto Edo and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Kasaphia, and that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us men of understanding of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. So we see here how that by the good hand of God, the people were blessed with men of understanding to do the ministry of the temple and to instruct the people in the ways and in the Word of God. Now, I'm sure thankful this morning to God for the men of understanding that He has brought into my life to instruct me in the Word and in the ways of the Lord. And I tell you what, my life has been so richly blessed because of the abundance of sound Bible teaching that I have received over the years. And I can trace it all back to the Lord and say that it's been because of His good hand upon my life, being ever so faithful to supply my spiritual need, that I have been able to grow and mature into the person that I am today. Now, there's a lot more room for improvement, let me tell you. And I'm still growing and I'm still maturing, and that's gonna be a non-ending process. But my point is that God was mighty to supply His people with the money and the materials and the men that of understanding that they needed to get this job done. And I also want to point out to you in these verses the miracle that the hand of God wrought in this chapter on behalf of Ezra and the people, because our God is a miracle-working God. Our God is a miracle-working God. And verses 21 and 23 of chapter 8, verses 21, 22, and 23, the Bible says, Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The good hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Ezra was well aware that the enemies of God were lying in wait and waiting for an opportunity to attack and to scatter the people and to cause the work to cease as they had done before. But Ezra believed and was sure and was confident that the good hand of God, of their God, was going to protect them and make a way for them somehow. Ezra had refused to ask the king for help, and he had refused to have the king give them a band of soldiers to escort them. And he said, listen, he told the king, he said, listen, the good hand of our God is upon us for good, and God's going to take care of us, king. We don't need those soldiers. And even though their lives were in imminent danger, instead of getting all panicky and instead of worrying, he proclaims a fast among the people, and together they afflicted themselves, they humbled themselves, and they asked the Lord to guide their steps, and the Bible says the Lord was entreated of them. Look down in verse 31. Verse 31 of that same chapter. The Bible says, Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. God heard their prayers, and by His mighty outstretched hand delivered them from the hand of the enemy and brought them safely to Jerusalem. And I wonder how many of us here this morning could raise our hand and say that we have been faced with similar situations, similar impossible circumstances and circumstances beyond our control. We've fasted and we've prayed and we've done all that we can do. We've had our backs to the wall and it seems like there's no way out. And we turn it over to God and we say, Lord, you're going to have to take care of this. I've done all I can do. And we put it in the Lord's hands and He works a miracle and brings us out and brings us through it. And does what we cannot do for ourselves. I'm telling you this morning, our God is a miracle-working God, and He likes to work when nothing else will. His hand is mighty to supply our every need, and His desire is to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The good hand of our God this morning is mighty to supply our every need. Let me share with you one more thing this morning before I close. Not only is the good hand of our God mighty to save us, and not only is the good hand of our God mighty to supply our every need, the good hand of our God is mighty to strengthen us. The good hand of our God is mighty to strengthen us. Look in Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says there in verses 4 and 5, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even under the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, if you're serious about serving God this morning, if you're serious about doing right, then you can expect the enemy to come against you. You can just expect that. The devil is going to make it hard for you to serve God. The devil is going to make sure that it's not easy for you to do what is right. He's going to do everything that he can to weaken your hands spiritually and to frustrate God's purpose for your life. You can be sure of it. That's just what he did here. He troubled the people. He weakened their hands and frustrated them in their purpose. And the Bible says he did that all the days of Cyrus until the reign of Darius. In fact, the enemy caused so much problem for God's people that the work on the temple was temporarily stopped. The devil got his way for a time. And you know, when Christians are determined to do right, we can expect relentless opposition from the enemy. And let me tell you, when that opposition comes and it keeps on coming, we're going to get tired. We're going to get weary. We're going to be tempted to quit. So what do we do in that situation? What do we do when the trouble comes and the enemy troubles us and tries to weaken our hands to the work? What do we do when we're tempted to quit on God? We need to remember that the good hand of our God upon us is mighty to strengthen us. And He's going to give us the power and the strength to do the work that He's called us to do. And we need to do what Nehemiah did in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. When his hands were weak, he prayed, Lord, strengthen my hands. We need God's help. We need God's power today. And the Bible says He giveth power to the faint. And to them which have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah was discouraged. He went out in the desert after he found out that Jezebel wanted to kill him for what he had done to the prophets of Baal. The Bible says he got out there in the wilderness under a juniper tree, and he started feeling sorry for himself. And he got depressed and discouraged and disappointed and all the things that were happening in his life. Nothing was going right for him. And he said, it is enough, Lord. Take my life. I don't want to live another day. I quit. And the Bible says the Lord came to him, the angel of the Lord came to him and touched him and strengthened him. And he got up and he went in the strength of the Lord to the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. And there God spoke to him. And there God told him, hey, there's 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I want you to go in and I want you to anoint Elisha to be the prophet in your place. I want you to anoint Jehu king. I want you to anoint Elisha to be prophet in your place. He's going to do twice as many miracles as you've done. God strengthened the hands of Elijah at that moment in his life. And I don't know how many times in my life I've felt like Elijah has failed. I've felt like giving up the fight. I felt like throwing in the towel. I felt like it's too much. I need to quit. I can't go on. And if it wasn't for the good hand of God upon me to help me and to strengthen me in those times, I don't know where I'd be today. I know I wouldn't be in the ministry. Maybe you're here this morning and your hands are weak. You're frustrated and you're tired of the devil giving you fits about trying to do what's right and live for the Lord. Listen, don't let him discourage you. Just tell him to go back to the pit where he belongs, and you just keep praying and doing what's right, because help is on the way and the hand of our God is mighty to strengthen the weak and the feeble. The Bible says in Psalms 118 verse 6, the good hand of our God, the right hand of the Lord, doeth valiantly. The Bible says in chapter 4 and in verse 4, the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. But look what the Bible says in chapter 6. Look what the Bible says in chapter 6, just a few chapters later, when God's people's hands were weak and the enemy was troubling them and caused the work temporarily to cease. A couple chapters later, chapter 6, verse 13, then Tatnai, governor on this side the river, Shethar Boznai, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. The Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. The Bible says they were joyful. Why? Because God's hand was upon them for good and not for evil, and because He had strengthened their hands to finish the rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem, and they finished it with His help, with His hand upon them for good. And listen, whatever it is you're struggling with this morning, whether it's family problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's strongholds in your life, whether it's persecution, whatever it is you're up against, listen, God can help you. His hand is mighty to strengthen. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24, we sung that scripture verse this morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. Ezra was a good man. He was a ready scribe. He had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And Ezra recognized the hand of the Lord upon his life. And he said, I've come a long way from where I've started. I've made it this far thanks to the good hand of my God upon my life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you see the good hand of God on your life this morning? Can you trace the moving of His mighty hand back to the day or the place or the time of your salvation? Can you point to a time and a place in your life when you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to die and go to hell. I'm sorry for the wrong that I have done. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and rose again the third day, and I'm placing my faith in Your shed blood today for my salvation. Do you remember a time and a place when you gave your heart and life and soul to Jesus and asked Him to save you? If you can't trace God's hand back to that time, to that place, to a moment like that in your life, then I ask you, I plead with you, to repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save you, receive Him as your Savior, and be saved. Come to Christ today. Now, if you can trace God's hand back to a moment in your life when you trusted Him as your Savior, you can trace God's hand back to the day of your salvation. When was the last time you thanked Him for saving your soul? God's been good to us. I mean, if we didn't live in America, and if we didn't have all the blessings that we have and that we enjoy as Americans today, and if we were still saved, we'd still be rich. We'd still be rich. When was the last time you thanked God for just saving your soul? Christian, I don't know about you, but I can sure see the good hand of God in my life. Can you see how good God has been to you? Can you see His hand? Can you see that His hand's been mighty to supply your every need? Have you given Him the glory lately? Have you said, Lord, thank You. I just want to praise You. I just want to give You the glory for the work that You're doing in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and your hands are weak. Maybe you're here this morning and the enemy is troubling you. I hope this morning that you can see that God's hand is mighty to strengthen you. The Bible says if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us in due time. We serve a great and mighty God. And we need to recognize this morning that His hand upon our lives is upon us for good. His hand is upon our lives every day to protect, to guide, to help, and to bless. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this wonderful day, Lord, that You've given us. And Lord, we could focus, Lord, on our problems. We can focus, Lord, on our troubles. And Lord, we could get down and discouraged. But Lord, I pray this morning that Your people would leave this church house thinking about Your hand and how Your hand has been upon them for good and not for evil. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, Lord, I pray, God, that You would help them to see their need for Christ. And I pray, Lord, this morning that they would come to Christ today and get that matter settled in their heart. And Lord, as Lord Christians, Lord, I pray that we would just, Lord, recognize that Your hand, Your good hand, has been upon us. And Lord, that Your hand is at work in this place, in our midst, in our homes, and in our lives, Lord. And we thank You. We praise You. You're such a good God. You're such a great God. We owe everything to You. Thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank You for our salvation this morning. And thank You, Lord, for supplying our need. Thank You for being faithful to provide for us. And Lord, thank You for being faithful to strengthen our hands. In moments of weakness, in times of trouble, temptation, trials, persecution, Lord, thank You for being mighty to strengthen us. Lord, I pray as we go our ways this morning, as we close this service down, that You'd allow the message, the Word, to sink down into our hearts, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would leave here rejoicing with our hearts full of joy for the goodness that You have shown us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning and we'll sing a song in closing. Hymn 147. Scott, if you could come and lead us this morning in this song, I'd appreciate it. How great Thou art. God is a great God. We serve a wonderful God. Hymn 197. We'll sing a few, this song and we'll close. And if God's spoken to your heart in some way, you need to come forward and pray. Please do. I think I got the wrong number here. 147. Thank you. Thank you. 147. How great Thou art. And the altar's open. If you need to come and do business with God this morning, the altar's open. If you need to come and pray, please do. And thank you so much for coming this morning. We're going to sing this song. And if God's spoken to your heart, you be obedient to the Holy Spirit.
147. Joy shall fill